Well, good morning, everybody. We are exceptionally glad to have you with us today. Hope the next couple of weeks really turn out to be somewhat of a challenge to us, but also just some of this fresh working of God that's taken place in our lives and in a very unmistakable way for us. Let me ask real quickly, how many have one of these with you? It's an I Will Dog Pack. Can I just see it? Just hold that up there. Look at this one. You're getting sleepy. No, not in church. Like, stop that right now, right? Okay, most of you, if you don't have one, we'll make sure you get one today before you go. But there's actually quite a story that goes behind these dog tags. A little over a year ago, we were really praying, God, what can we do to help, the spiritual trajectory, personal, growth of those that are here at Fox River? I mean, I know a lot were going like this, but we just wanted to, see that increase a little bit more. And as we were thinking about that, planning for it, we said, is there some tactile catalyst that we could use? Some physical catalyst that we could use, this reminder to help us to move in the direction that God wants us to open ourselves up more to this working of God. And we came up with this idea that we could make a dog tag. Now, you could use it as a keychain, of course, but the dog tag idea came to us, and our model for that, behind the saying on it, I will, was Jesus. Because we were thinking, when Jesus said, I will, to God, it changed everything. Changed so much with Jesus himself, changed so much, in the world today. Because Jesus said, I will, I will come, I will serve, I will sacrifice, I will, I'll die on the cross, I will rise again, I will build my church, I will be with you. Philippians 2 tells us in each of those things that God so honored his son for doing so. Said honor that was higher than any other honor that was given before. And so the challenge then that we wanted to put with that, Jesus said, I will, and he asks us to do so too. The challenge was, let's take these dog tags and carry them with us for 5 weeks, but each day sincerely pray this prayer of I will to God. Father, I will say yes to you today. Jesus, I will follow you today, best I'm able to. Holy Spirit, I will say yes to your promptings in my life. And what we saw happening, shouldn't have been any surprise to us, right? Was as we were saying, I will to God, that God's working was increasing, that our, kind of like our spiritual eyes were opening up a little bit more all the time. We began, hearing just some incredible stories, and we've gotten lots of them back so far, more than what we could share in just a couple of services that we have for this. So we're kind of going to let a little spillover come out in the, future weeks ahead. But one of two that I want to share today would be Glenn's. Just kind of unique, when he said, I will to God, well, what happened in his life? Let's check it out here.
I cannot begin to tell you how much the I Will program has meant to my wife and me in changing our lives. It has been a whirlwind year, to say the least, from our remarriage to Celebrate Recovery to the tech team to Stephen Ministry and the safety team. But I believe the most important thing that God has done in my life is that he has told me to bring into our house my daughter and our 3 grandchildren as she attempts to get her life back on God's terms. I can truly have the idea of what Abraham and Sarah were facing when God chose them at a very late stages of their lives. Since my rebirth into Christianity 6 years ago, I have learned a lot of lessons, and I know that God has so much more for me to learn. As I say this to you, I can tell you that because of God, my church, and all my brothers and sisters in the faith, I will never ever be the same. I wear my I Will tag every day as a reminder to me that everything we think, do, and say is the will of our Savior and Creator. And I never want to lose sight of that in my life. I am so grateful to God for saving my life and believing that I still could bear good fruit. In closing, I am most grateful to God for helping me live my life under the mantra of God, family, church, and with his help and blessings, I will live the life he placed me on this planet to live. I thank you also very much for being my beacon in the darkness. I will never forget.
Let's just give a quick thanks to Glenn for that, can we? Most of us realize, you know, 90 seconds gives about that much of the story of really this working that God's going on. So if you see him around today, you definitely want to just go like, so tell me a little bit more, and I guarantee you, you will be in for a real treat with that. So one of the things that we were learning as we prayed this prayer, and, you know, things began to open up to us, was this. And we put it in this form of a maxim early on, and it was almost theory for us. I mean, it made sense theoretically, but all of a sudden at the end of 5 weeks, it was something that was experiential for us. This truth that I am one I will away from God's next working in my life. Now, that's true for all of us again today. We are one I will away from the next thing God wants to do in us, the next thing that God wants to do through us. And these were just, you know, this physical reminder of it. Now, then there was the catch. Remember what the catch was? The catch was we gave these to people, you know, told them 5 weeks this is what we're going to be doing, but then we said at the end of 5 weeks, you're going to have to give it back to us. And you know what? There was a lot of people that weren't happy with me. In fact, as the 5 weeks went on, they became more unhappy with me for saying that. How many of you were some of the unhappy people? Yeah, I mean, they'll tell you about this. I mean, people were planning on sinning about this. They're going to lie and say they lost it. Some were planning on beating up other people in the parking lot and stealing theirs from them and then giving that one back so they could keep theirs. I mean, I was a little, you know, concerned about this. Now, what people didn't know, I know that you think you were mean not to tell people what you're going to do. Well, that's beside the point, you know, being mean, I mean, but we didn't tell them when they gave theirs back that there was going to be something else that they were going to receive. In fact, a better one that was there. You see, we were just putting out in a very, very tangible way that all of us be able to, you know, process and take away with us this whole concept of stewardship. A stewardship is when God gives you something for a purpose, to be used for a while to accomplish, you know, what he wants to be able to accomplish, you know, in our lives around us. And then he says, now, you know, that's done. I want you to give that back to me. And then, you know, I've got something more for you that way. So we received new dog tags. The end of the 5 weeks, again, the stories that we were hearing, you know, our prayer, that our, you know, spiritual growth trajectory would be moving up, that certainly was happening. But at the same time, we discovered as a church that there was this, you know, real increase of God working in, you know, in and through Fox River that way. We, as we were thinking about our visionary goals, if we would say, you know, Fox River would say, I will to God and what he asks of us and has for us, what would happen? And we began talking about these doors of opportunity. You know, Paul referred to these in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he talked about there's a great door of opportunity that's set before me, like right now. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he talks about this other door of opportunity. We called it the door of opportunity of tomorrow. He says, I know it's coming, I can see it out there, and I just want to make sure that I'm positioning myself properly now so that when it comes, then I'm going to be able to be ready and prepared for that. And so we start talking about what are some of our visionary objectives that we have right now as well as for the future. We laid out about six of them. The first one was that we would be able to, you know, just fund what we were doing here, you know, fully fund our budget through I Will, of course, which we were able to do. But the thing we didn't anticipate was just how much would take place within a year. I mean, in 1 year, when we think back, kind of boil it all down, we've seen over 10% growth that took place at Fox River. That really exceeded our expectations here. The other things in people's lives and those that have come, you know, to Jesus and those that have come back to God, way far exceeded our expectations. The second thing, you know, that we are hoping to be able to do would be able to fund our first multi-site campus. And to actually start that. Of course, if you've been around here, you know that through I Will, we've been able to do that. Waterford has been started. In fact, their service is actually going on even as we speak right now. Just some great things taking place down there. You know, those little couple of shots of, you know, what it'd be like if you go and visit. But we want to encourage you. Sometime go down there. You know, go down there as family and just kind of see what's taking place there. It'll help you, again, if you know other people in the area, just to say, you know, been there, and I think it'd be a place, an environment that you would spiritually flourish in that way. We went on, though. We said, those are the things in front of us right now, but in the future, just a little bit further out, what's in front of us there? And we started, understanding this, that as we develop here, God's given us some resource, and let's do our best in developing it. So when you leave today, and you see the field to the west of us, so as you're pulling out there, I just want you to take a look over there, and I want you to see some things. Now, at the same time, I want you to be paying attention to the person in front of you, okay? Because you really won't be happy with me if you're bumping, bumping cars out there. But I want you to see out there the cornfield that's turned into now grass ball fields and playing fields that we really want to leverage for our youth here as well as the youth in the community. I want you to be able to see a new road that's going on out there to be able to alleviate some of the traffic tensions that we can have around here. I want you to be able to see, some expanded parking, because if you've come to any of the, if you come in this service, you go like parking can be a problem, and as we continue to grow that way, we know that, people can be very frustrated before they ever get through the doors, last thing in the world that we want for them. And through I Will, what's happened with this? Is that we're about 80% with the commitments that have come, in or been promised for this next year out to being able to accomplish that. So we see that as a very, very real possibility even next year taking place there. We know that we'll need to continue to expand, place for worship. We need to continue to expand, our children's ministries and our youth ministries are taking place and to be able to provide the environments for them. We hopefully be able to reduce some of the debt load that we carry. We think, again, that just positions us better for the future that way. Now, those are yet to be funded because, with our commitments we've come in, we've just kind of gotten through about 3 3/4 right now. But I want to say to everybody that thus far has helped, that it's participated, thank you so much. Thank you because you have helped in participating and giving to enable us just this last year to do things far beyond what we could have done without that participation. So thank you, and thank you for that. Today, I'd like to be able to leverage the 1 year I Will anniversary in two different ways. One, I want to bring this back again to the challenge that we had. Let's, for the next 3 weeks together, if we can, let's carry our dog tag with us, whether we're wearing it or just, carrying it with us. But start each day with this prayer, God, I will. Specifically, Father, I will say yes to you today. Whatever it is, yes. Jesus, I will follow you today as best I can. This prayer, Holy Spirit, best I can. I just want to yield myself to your promptings and pay attention to those. I also want to be able to ask a soul-searching question for us. It's an important question, and I think the soul-searching part just grows on us as we gain understanding in it. And it's going to be this. I want you to ask yourself today, this week, what kind of steward have I been this past year? Because everybody has an answer for the question. We're just going to figure out if it's the answer that we want for the question. Now, we talk about stewardship and that which God has for us in it. Two truths that are very foundational for us. Kind of like foundation for Christian living 101. The first of these truths is this. That I am a steward. That I have a stewardship. Would you say that with me? I am a, and I have a, everyone here, if you're a Christian, you're a steward, you have a stewardship. Doesn't matter if you're in middle school, doesn't matter if you've retired, anything in between, this is talking about you. Now, let's look at what the Bible has to say, Jesus in particular, with this matter of stewardship and what he wants to keep in the forefront of our mind. Matthew chapter 25 is where we want to go in our Bibles. If you didn't bring a Bible and can find a pew Bible somewhere nearby, if you would turn to page 1544 with me, Jesus is going to use a parable, that is a story, with stick. See, he just didn't want to simply, tell everybody, hey, by the way, remember, you're a steward, you have a stewardship, but he was going to put this emotional stickiness to it in a way that none of us would ever forget. So in verse 14, as he starts out, again, it will be like, so you got to stop and go like, wait a second, what's he talking about? What's the again referring to? So if you go back a little earlier, Matthew 25, verse number 1, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. In other words, what God wants taking place in our lives right now, in the lives of those that are following Jesus right now. That's what he's talking about. He said, the kingdom, well, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. Let's stop for just a second here. One of the things you want to kind of wrap your head around was, what did he give him? I mean, you know, he gave him a bag of gold, right? But what's a bag of gold? Is it a little bag of gold? Is it a big bag of gold? What's that all about? Now, some of your Bibles may use the word a talent that's in there. He gave him a talent. Well, what's a talent? A talent, or a bag of gold, is 20 years' pay. One talent, one bag of gold, 20 years' pay. Now, if anybody in here can do public math, let's say you make, $50,000 a year. Okay, if you made $50,000 a year, in 20 years, how much would you have?
Million.
Yeah, okay, $1 million. So you're going like, give him $1 million. That's one bag. The guy that got 2 bags got how much? Amazing. You know, you're really wanting a limb there. But and of course, 5 bags is $5 million. So you might want to just write in your Bible there, is 20 years' wage. And you can figure it out according to what your pay scale is right now. Somebody's just going like, wow, that's a lot of money. If you're going to underline anything in this verse, though, underline these words, each according to his ability. One of the things you always want to come back to the Bible is God is never going to set you up for failure. God is not going to give you something that he knows is going to wreck you. If you get wrecked, don't blame God. He has not given you something to wreck you, but we'll discover, of course, to help, something that's intended to be a great blessing. Okay, now we can pick it up again at 16. The man who received the 5 bags of gold went out at once and put his money to work, and he gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went out, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now let's stop for a second. If you know nothing else about this story, do you think this guy is doing what the intention was with this money? Just take a wild guess. Take a flyer. I mean, you're just going like, I'm not sure that that's a good plan. Verse 19. After a long time, the master of the servants returned, and he settled accounts with them. The man who received 5 bags of gold brought 5 others. And he said, Master, you entrusted me 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good, faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. Now, I just got to pause for a second and push back. Few things. 5 bags of gold is how much money? 5 mil. He doubled it, so he's given back how much? 10 million. And the master's going like, chump change. This is nothing. Let's talk about some, serious coin right now. He says, come, share in your master's happiness. The man who had 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted with me 2 bags of gold. See, I gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. And everybody listening to Jesus, shaking their heads, going like, it's good. And then 24. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man. Now, this is interesting. Positioning right away. Master, let's just get one thing straight. You are unpleasable. Harvesting where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. How many of you, if your kids came in and said, let's just get one thing straight before you talk to me. Dad, you are unpleasable. Mom, no way in the world anybody could ever make you happy. You're like, really? What's a kid trying to do that says something like that? He said, so I was afraid, And I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Is that what yours says? It says, you wicked, lazy servant. And really, we can stop the parable right there. It's like this calling, and it's like, you know, you're reporting back. Stewardship you've been given. You just, not only are you lazy with it, but you were self-centered and you purposefully didn't do what I'd hoped you would do. I mean, you knew, but you just, you know, it's just like wicked, lazy servant. Nobody ever forgot that story when Jesus told them. I doubt you'll ever forget it either. But that's only the first of the two truths. One, I am a steward. Two, I have been given a stewardship by God. It's according to my ability, right? Things he entrusts to me. But the second thing that Jesus wants us to understand is this, that we are all going to give an account. We're going to be like those other two guys. In the Bible, rather than in a parable, Paul says to others, Romans chapter 14, verse 12, he says, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. This is Christians. You want to write that in your handout. Christians are going to give an account of themselves to God or their stewardship that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this. Let's read it together. Everybody? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due for us for the things done in the body, whether or every one of us. We have this appointment. Every Christian will give an account for what you did in the body, in this lifetime that we have right here. See, we're all going to be able to get a grade. Now, I hope that you're going like, oh, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be a good thing. You know, I'm looking forward to this. Because some people hear this and they're just like, you know, they want to go into denial. Like, no, this can't be true. And you always got to ask yourself, why would I go there right away knowing what it is I know about God? Which kind of, again, reminds us, make sure that, you know, we're back to the scriptures, understanding God as he's, you know, given himself to us here. And what are the things that we give account for? I mean, what's this thing going to be like? And I've listed 1 Corinthians 3 in there. It kind of gives you a little bit more detail of what this judgment seat of Jesus is going to be like. But real quickly, you know, our stewardship, what does it include? You know, we'll remind people, you know, bigs, you know, we go treasure, time, talents, opportunities. Let's talk about each for just a moment or two. A treasure. The financial opportunities that God has given to us, the resource that we have been given by God, we're going to give an account. In other words, one of the reasons that we hope that everybody in here regularly is living generously, because number one, you're going to get a grade. I mean, you've got a grade. If you just go back, you know, what kind of steward have you been this past 12 months? Everybody has earned a grade. You know, whatever grading scale you want, A, B, C, D, E, F. I mean, you go like, I have earned a this. And it's not going to be graded on a curve either. It's just, this is what you earned, and this is what you're going to get. But the other reason that generosity is so important is that generous people find freedom. Generous people find an elevated level of joy in their life. That's what's so important. That's why we emphasize it the way that we do. So one thing that's really important, this is easily you can kind of get this twisted. I mean, is it possible to financially to buy or position yourself into God's blessing in your life? Can you, through giving, earn God's blessing, buy it by favor with him? Yes or no? I mean, you go like, I don't think so, but there's times the Bible, you know, it says, you know, given is going to be given unto you. And, you know, here's what God's doing in the lives of those that are givers there. But remember this motivation. If I give to get, my motivation in giving is what? Yeah, it's not tricky here. If I give in order to get, the reason I'm giving is to what? Yeah, it's to get. The reason I'm giving, feigning generosity, is just so that I'm planning to get something that way. You know, kind of like, ha, you know, I tricked God into this. And God's like, oh, never thought about that, right? here's where this, you know, how does giving then relate to this working of God in our lives? And it's all about giving reveals. Our giving reveals where our heart is and where our trust is. You know what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 21? He said, where your treasure is, there is your heart. Now, we all know that intuitively. What you choose to do with your money shows what's important to you. True or false? Yeah, true. Right? How you choose, you know, what you do with your money shows what you trust in. Those things are so true. It's the fact that, you know, giving, when your heart is in alignment with God, when your trust is in alignment with God, that's what opens up this working of God in our lives, right? Now, the person on the outside could go, it must be the giving that's got them blessed that way. But if you're giving, you know that's not the case at all. It's this very fact, you know, my heart's in alignment with God, trust is there, and hence, this, you know, God's working goes. You know, Brian and Carrie, they're talking to us about, you know, how they've discovered this in their lives. You know, all through I Will, too, are kind of the pieces were falling together that way. That was a great story. I want to share that one with you today as well. Here they are.
My name is Brian. This is my wife, Carrie, and this is our I Will story. When we were first married, we had a lot of struggles with getting on the same page financially. We were doing what most people would consider very well, but we had a lot of control issues over who controlled the finances, and it caused a lot of strain and stress. And personally, I probably was more of a factor in that I wanted to control. Even though my wife is a seasoned CPA, you know, I still wanted to have that control. We had a lot of arguments and things early on in our marriage, and a lot of stress. And looking back, it was probably undue stress, but a lot of stress. And we did contribute to Fox River. It was a safe amount. About a year and a half into our marriage, we decided to take the Financial Peace course offered through Fox River. It really did a great job for us in that we got on the same page, and it also allowed us to look at our budget and say, you know, we can contribute a lot more to Fox River, partner more with Fox River. We were doing about triple of what we originally were doing, but it still was not a full tithe. It was still something that we could safely do within our budget. We had made a lot of progress, but we still had some issues, and what we were really having a problem with is like when things came up that altered our budget, that, you know, the car repairs or home repairs and things like that. Oh, you know, is this going to put us back from our goal to retire early and do all these things and live this glorious life that we thought was important to us at the time? We had committed our souls to God a long time ago, but we still didn't commit our finances to Him.
We attended a preview event last fall, and it actually got us pretty excited about what Fox River is doing and the thought of being a part of the expansion of God's kingdom. However, we still fell into our controlling of our finances, where we were having doubts on, well, is Fox River doing the right thing, or what should we be doing with our money? Is, you know, how much is enough?
The I Will series really put it in, the I Will commitment really put it out to us that we're stewards, that we did this, what we have in this life isn't ours, that it's really a stewardship, and that we just have to give a tenth of that to God. And but at the same time, it also opened up us to be more generous in other areas of our lives as well.
Once we realized that we're missing this area with God, that we needed to bring Him in and really, really let go of the control and let Him take over.
Our plan was that eventually we'd get to a point where we could afford to tithe, you know, financially. But we realized very quickly that that's not the way it is, that we need to commit to this and be committed to this now. And it really, truly was a blessing.
When we finally decided to do the I Will commitment, we decided we need to make a full commitment to God with our finances. After making that full commitment, we experienced true peace. We still had concerns that we were going to be put into a bad financial situation and we could have setbacks that could potentially take us back to square one. As we became more reliant on God, it helped us realize how blessed and fortunate we were.
Amazing things started to happen for us financially. We both received two raises. We had, our income had raised, had risen over 10%. Our focus now is on how we can use the blessings God has given us to help build His kingdom and not for our personal gain. Committing to I Will has changed our lives, and to see how Fox River is progressing with I Will is truly exciting.
I know Brian Carrier, they're way in back there, but we just say thanks for them for sharing, again, a piece of their story, little piece. And if you get a chance to talk to them afterwards, there's some way bigger things than God's doing, and it just will thrill you to hear those things that are there. Another area of stewardship that came up in I Will was the matter, not just of treasure, but the matter of time. And what was interesting was the number of people that said, "Guy, it is harder for me to give my time than it is to give of money. You know, give money is no big deal, but give my time, it's like, you know, that's what I guard, that's what I, you know, want to have the most control over that way." You may go on like, "Yeah, I understand exactly what, you know, what's being said with that." But to be able to put yourself in the place of involvement and serving and helping, you know that requires time. Another thing, when we talk about our talents, you know, you think of the word gifts. Did you know that God has given to every Christian a gift? And that gift, He said, is not just to be self-serving, but you've been given a gift so that you can make a local body of Jesus a better place to be, a more effective place, a healthier place. Place that's able to accomplish more. And we, of course, are going to give account to, am I using my gift? How am I using the gifts that God has given to me that way? We talk about opportunities. Opportunities are unique. I want to say opportunities. Yeah, they are. They're unique, you know, these unique opportunities that God gives in our lives. We never know when they're coming, you know, these God-given opportunities. So it's hard to prepare yourself, you know, fully for that, but just saying, I'm going to say I will to God when they take place that way. To be able to, you know, purpose to go like, I want to join God in His working. I want to be a part of the mission that's going on and taking place. Every one of us has that challenge by Jesus to join Him, and that's part of this stewardship that He's given with our lives. You know, it's how do we use our discretionary time? And I know some people go like, I don't have any discretionary time. But what we're talking about, it's the time that you have control over in your life. That is what shows what's important to you, what you value most that way. Why did God give us this stewardship? In a nutshell. Number one, He gave us all stewardship as a reminder. A reminder that this world is not all that there is. In other words, what I do now is going to affect eternity. My eternity, others' eternity. Life is a preparation for eternity that way. It's also a reminder that what I do now doesn't only affect eternity, but how I steward what I have, what kind of steward I am, affects my life and the quality of my life right now. And I wish I had more time to develop that. But the second thing it reminds us, tells us, the stewardship purpose, God says, I want you, I'm giving what I'm giving to you, entrusting you what I'm entrusting to you, is so that you will be blessed. And we are truly blessed to be a blessing. But what I'm talking about here is, I want you to know that according to your ability, because I'm not going to set you up for failure, these are things that I want you to help you to live life to the full. You've heard me say before, if you're not enjoying what it is that God has given to you, you have the opportunity to enjoy right now, then you are spiritually way out of whack. I mean, there's something broken or out of alignment that's got to get back in there that way. Because stewardship is just like, this is Christianity 101. Now, I said earlier, we want to make sure everybody has one of these this week, and there'll be two reasons for that. So if ushers, if you'll come right now, and they're going to pass out, I think we've got bowls today. But if you do not have an I Will tag at all, if you're I Will-less, then we want you to grab one of these and have it with us. Because for the next 3 weeks, I would like to again challenge us individually as a church, will you start your day by saying I will to God? Because we are just one I will away from God's next working in our lives. Now, if you're getting one of these tags today, you're going to have to, remember what the catch is? You're going to have to give it back. And it's going to be a quick turnaround for you, in fact. Next week, I'm going to ask you, the ones that you're just getting it today, I want you to come and to give it back next week, because we're only doing the I Will celebration for 2 weeks here. So, you got to turn around next week. You're not going to have this five-week, prolonging of pain that we did with everybody else. But you also know that we've got another tag that we want to be able to entrust with you that way. So we're going to carry them with us for the next couple of weeks together. We're going to pray this prayer. Would you please, everybody, just grab, there's a little card, looks like a door in your program. Grab that, take it off for just a second. It says, I will on the front. We all did these, last year if you were here. If you're a guest with us, why don't you take this card? If you're not a regular Turner Fox River, if you just kind of, you don't have to hold it up, but I want you to take it right now. If you're a guest with us today, take this card, and here's what I want you to do. Just like that, all right? Because this is not something that really that you have a part in right now. So just put that aside. If you're regular here, I'm just going to ask you, would you take that card home in light of this, what kind of steward have I been, am I going to be, and just pray over it. God, what kind of steward do I want to be for you? Now, we know we've gotten a grade for last year, good, bad, otherwise, but we have the opportunity now to plan out what kind of steward we're going to be. If you already did one of these, then we know that people have had to make adjustments. Some have had to adjust down. Some have had to, some can adjust up. So we're going to ask everybody, let's do this. Let's pray over this. And when you're ready, next week or two, if you just wouldn't mind, bring it back, put it in the offering plate, drop it in, one of the baskets back there, as we just continue to chart this course that God has before us that way. I will begin with Jesus. Jesus saying, I will, but for us, I will begins with Jesus. The greatest hope that God has for anyone is that they would say, I will receive Jesus personally. Coming to him for what he did on the cross, yes, but coming to him for what he wants to do in our lives individually, now as well as future. If that hasn't happened yet, I sure want to invite you to do so today. I want you to be a part of God's working in people's lives with that invitation that goes to them. And for everybody who does, it says, I will to Jesus in the beginning. Well, you have a basis for saying, I will to him as he continues, one step, next step in our lives. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord Jesus, we're grateful you said, I will. Creation has never been the same. And it will not be the same. But because you did, you've given us the opportunity too. But it is just that. It is an opportunity. We can bury it. We can use it. Our prayer is that we won't bury it. We'll discover more and more this potential, this next working of yours in our life, God, through this. Please help us to see it with a little more clarity. I pray this matter of a stewardship will come across as even a greater blessing and in no way a burden for us, because that's certainly not been your intent. Today we want to say I will to you. Before we close the prayer, I just want to encourage you to make your own personal I will statement. Make that to God. As we say, I will to you, Father, we anticipate your working in our lives. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Everybody in agreement here said, amen.